Smart Talk is produced by WITF as part of our mission to deliver relevant, high-quality programming. Support comes from Capital Blue Cross, which shares WITF's commitment to being a trusted resource in our communities. Smart Talk is also supported by UPMC, offering services for athletes at every level and age. More information can be found at upmc.com/centralpaortho.
You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF. I'm Scott Lamar. Congressman Thaddeus Stevens was born in Vermont, practiced law in Gettysburg, and represented Lancaster in Congress before, during, and right after the Civil War. He was considered one of the nation's most fervent anti-racist and anti-slavery members of Congress. He also was one of its most influential legislators. Yet 160 years later, Stevens often doesn't get the kind of recognition for his accomplishments that some of his contemporaries do. Best-selling author Bruce Levine's 2021 book, Thaddeus Stevens, Civil War Revolutionary, Fighter for Racial Justice, is the first biography of Stevens in 50 years. Bruce Levine joins us today, and welcome to the program. Why don't we hear about Thaddeus Stevens as one of the most seminal figures that defeated slavery in this country's history?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on, Scott. And that's not an easy question to answer, but I will try. One thing is that most of the attention goes to Abraham Lincoln, who is often credited with almost single-handedly bringing about the end of slavery in the United States. And films like the Lincoln film that came out some years ago, the Spielberg film, strongly implies as much. And people like Thaddeus Stevens, not to mention the African-American population itself that had been campaigning so hard when possible to do away with slavery, is usually ignored. We tend to have a hero view of history and tend to boil major events down to a single individual. And so the massive civil rights movement of the 1960s tends to be boiled down to the individual Martin Luther King. All those other people who made King a leader precisely because they committed themselves to that same cause tend to be ignored. And so it was, and so it is with Thaddeus Stevens.
As your book points out, Lincoln had to be inched along. Maybe inched is a little bit of an understatement, but he had to be nudged along throughout his administration toward the Emancipation Proclamation and abolishing slavery overall. I mean, this was a man at one time that supported colonization of blacks, moving them to a colony, and said that blacks were inferior to whites, but eventually came around. And Stevens had a lot to do with that, probably. I just wanted to point out, there was just an article in LMP, the Lancaster newspaper, this weekend, says there's only two statues of Thaddeus Stevens. One is at the college that bears his name in Lancaster, but there's a third plan for Gettysburg now. And that's kind of incredible when you think about someone of Stevens' stature only having two statues. The thumbnail version, how would you describe Thaddeus Stevens' role in abolishing slavery?
Well, Stevens was effectively an abolitionist. Decades before the Civil War, was in favor not only of the abolition of slavery, but even more radically, for completely equal rights for African Americans, not simply freedom from slavery, but also full civil rights and the right to vote, which placed him in the tiny, tiny minority of whites in the 1830s, for example. And I think the way to think of Stevens is as an individual who campaigned successfully over the course of his lifetime to push the country and push the political parties to which he belonged further along in the direction of a greater degree of democracy and equality in the United States. And when historical circumstances permitted, as they did in the era of the Civil War, those efforts bore fruit.
As you said, what you described is that Stevens was considered a radical for his time. I mean, when you say full rights, he thought that African-Americans or blacks should be able to vote, for example, after the Civil War, be given full rights. And again, many, many people, even members of his own party, Republicans, said, well, we're not quite willing to go there yet. So when being a radical, did people kind of look at his opinions and say, well, you know, he's too far to whatever side?
Yes, there's a consistent dynamic, especially beginning in the 1850s when the conflict over slavery begins to really heat up. There's a consistent dynamic in which Stevens and people like him, handful of people like him, put forward a position. And the vast majority of the population looks upon it as ridiculously extreme. But then what Frederick Douglass calls the inexorable logic of events, the circumstances begin to convince larger numbers of people that what Stevens is saying actually makes more sense than they had anticipated. And so the public opinion starts to catch up to what Stevens and others like him are saying. And that then repeats itself over and over and over again, particularly during the Civil War and the first few years following the Civil War, as it becomes clear that abolition of slavery and equal rights is absolutely necessary for the defeat of the rebellion against the United States, which is what, of course, the Confederacy was, and then for securing the victory of the Union following the end of the Civil War and the defeat of the rebellion.
How would you describe Stevens on a personal basis? I mean, and what influenced him to be a champion of blacks in America?
Well, let's start with the influences. Stevens, as you mentioned earlier, was born and raised in Vermont. Vermont was politically the most democratic-minded state in the early Union, had the most democratic, lowercase d, of course, state constitution, most democratic form of state government, was the first state in the Union whose constitution denounced slavery. And all of this grew out of the fact that Vermont came into existence in a fight for democratic rights and for the right of small farmers to keep their land, struggle against the colony of New York and then the state of New York, which also laid claim to the same land on which Vermont arose. He was born into a Baptist family, and the Baptists of Vermont were strongly in favor of individual rights. That religion communicated that belief to Stevens. Excuse me. Stevens was born into a poor family, and as a result, came to identify with other individuals who lived life at a disadvantage of one form or another compared to others. He was born into a family that was deeply committed to the most democratic interpretation of what the American Revolution signified, and was taught to revere Jefferson's words in the Declaration of Independence, that all men are created equal. And I think these factors, combined with the things he read in high school and college, cemented his opinion that slavery was an abomination and equality needed to be the norm.
You know, and he transitioned, changed his opinions throughout his life, as most people do. I want to move to after the Civil War and Reconstruction. President Andrew Johnson, who became president after Lincoln was assassinated. First of all, I have to think that one of the worst decisions Lincoln ever made was choosing Andrew Johnson as his running mate. But your book points out Andrew Johnson may have done more harm to this country than any other president, at least from a standpoint of rights, freedom, racial, relations, those kind of things. I mean, just incredible, the things, decisions he made, and Stevens fought him all the way.
Right. That's right. Andrew Johnson is placed on the ticket, the Republican ticket, in 1864 as part of the Republicans' attempt to increase their electoral base by bringing in the so-called war Democrats, those Democrats who were committed to militarily struggling against secession, of whom Andrew Johnson was a major spokesperson. But as you say, it turns out to be a bad mistake. Nobody could have foreseen Lincoln's assassination, but the consequences of Lincoln's assassination and the elevation of Johnson to the presidency were indeed enormous, because he proved to be, as a number of Republicans came to see, the leading force in the struggle to prevent African Americans from achieving their just due.
And the impact is still being felt today. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about that. We only have a minute or so left, and Bruce Levine, want to thank you very much. When Stevens died, he was buried in Lancaster at the only cemetery that would bury both blacks and whites. I've been to his gravesite. We have a picture on our website. So even in death, Stevens was committed to the cause.
Exactly right. The inscription, as you know, on his gravesite says, if I may paraphrase, "I don't take my rest here out of a desire to be away from the vast majority of people of Lancaster in their death, but rather from my commitment to a level of equality that most cemeteries do not permit, most cemeteries that exclude Black people." He said, "And so my presence here in death illustrates my belief in equality of man before his God, a belief that I have fought for all my life."
The book is Thaddeus Stevens, Civil War Revolutionary, Fighter for Racial Justice. Bruce Levine, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me on.